This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't imagine when the playoffs started, we thought the T-Wolves would be hosting a game in the semifinals, but here we are.
I actually predicted that very thing. I predicted the Wolves to beat the Lakers and the Warriors to beat the Rockets. So, yeah.
And so here we are. I know you're big on judging the mood of a cities, Chris. Anyway, we'll talk about that series when it comes up. I don't think anyone would have predicted that we had three 60-win teams this year, and all three would be 0-1 after their first playoff game. Let's go through them in order. Let's start with the one that we didn't talk about yesterday, which was Cleveland losing to the Pacers. Obviously, no Darius Garland. How big a shock was that, and what do you make of the Pacers' chances?
I mean, it was a surprise, I guess. I mean, Cleveland had been so dominant in the first round, even without Garland against Miami. But, like, you know, when you're missing an all-star guard, that's kind of a lot to miss.
Right.
And Indiana is really good. And I think Indiana's, you know, been really good all season, pretty much. And I think that team's totally legit. And so, like, a surprise, not a shock. And so, like, we'll see, you know, if Garland can get back, if he can sort of be himself. But if not, then I think the Pacers can make that a series. I'd still favor the Cavs to win it, I think. But, like, I mean, you know, that's a real team in Indiana.
All right. It is interesting. I mean, they can have Miles Turner's free agent, I think, after this year. So, and they have some salary issues coming. But I was thinking about it. We always think about the Grizzlies. You know, we talk about the Grizzlies core three or whatever. And I'd ask you, who's better, Ja, Jaren, and Dez, or Halliburton, Siakam, and Nembhard?
You know, I mean, it's sort of a, you know, I would lean the Grizzlies slightly on that if everyone's sort of healthy. I don't know if Nembhard is the number three there. Maybe he is.
Maybe he's not. That's exactly right. Maybe he's not. Maybe Miles Turner might be number three.
But I think it's a close call. I think that, you know, I think right now Halliburton has sort of moved ahead of Ja, but that could change, you know, instantly if Ja is healthy and Ja is the best version of himself. I think, you know, Siakam and Jaren are different kind of players, but at similar levels in terms of being sort of, you know, all-star, borderline, all-NBA power forwards. Siakam has made a couple of all-NBA teams, but it's the kind of, it's sort of like Julius Randle making all-NBA teams, you know. Jaren, you know, is going to be on the fringes of it this year, whether he makes it or not. And then, you know, whether it's Miles Turner or Andrew Nembhard, you know, they're sort of like Bane in that, like, non-All-Stars, but, like, high-level starters who haven't made All-Star teams. So I think it's debatable, but I think the difference, hey, conference is the difference. I mean, right, it's not that big of a difference in the number of games they won this year. And so conference is the difference, and I think, you know, general health and supporting cast and some of that, right?
I guess some of it is what I mean is I think of Indiana as a mediocre plus team, right? They can be entertaining, but there's a hard ceiling on how good they are, right? And so then when I think about their best players and the Grizzlies' best players and that they're roughly equivalent, I wonder what that tells me about the Grizzlies.
They won 50 games. They finished fourth in the East in the second round of the playoffs. So, yeah, there's a hard ceiling. They're not a super team that's going to march to a title. I just don't know why we obsess about that all the time instead of just, like, you know,
enjoying the fact that they're
enjoying having good basketball teams,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, 100%. Okay, so we had that one. Cleveland goes down. Kenny Atkinson, by the way, wins Coach of the Year. Does that seem like the right choice to you?
I mean, I think it was pretty obvious he was going to win. I mean, there's never one guy who has to be Coach of the Year. There's always lots of guys who do good coaching jobs, this year in particular. But given that, Cleveland like zoomed up to the top without significant changes to roster. No, I think a big thing that happened there was they were healthier. They were, you know, Darius Garland missed a lot of time last year. So I think they got healthier and that was a big thing. But you did feel the fingerprints of coaching on sort of transforming that offense and making that offense elite in a way that it hadn't been before with essentially the same kind of talent. So yeah, I think Atkinson was certainly a deserving winner there. Not at all a surprising one.
All right, we move on to Knicks-Celtics. Celtics make 15 of 60 from three, just 15 of 60 from three, and end up losing as the Knicks make 17, shoot 46% by contrast. Knicks win 108 to 105. Your thoughts on that tilt?
Well, I think one of the things that people have talked about with the Celtics this year is they're so three-point shooting reliant, and they're really good at it. And so they can really run teams off the floor when the shots are falling. But I mean, I've certainly seen, read, and heard people make the point during the season, like, you know, that could make them susceptible in a playoff game if the shots aren't falling. If you're so reliant on that and you have a bad shooting night, and they had a really bad shooting night against the Knicks, then, you know, then that becomes a problem. Like, are they going to miss 45 threes again in the series? And so if you miss 45 three-point attempts, like, there's a good chance you're going to lose that basketball game.
Right.
And so we'll see. I mean, the Knicks, I think, got swept by the Celtics in the regular season. I think that's right.
Yep.
But they also built that team in part to match up defensively with Boston in terms of, you know, playing the one big and having good, you know, good defenders on the wing and having, in terms of having, you know, OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart. Like, they have the bodies to match up on the perimeter with the Celtics defensively. And so it didn't work in the regular season, but, like, the playoffs are different, and so maybe it will.
Yeah, it's funny. It feels like, okay, yes, they can certainly lose a game if they miss 45 threes. Are they going to lose four? But they actually had a stretch during the regular season where they missed a whole bunch of threes for a whole bunch of games. Like, they had a low,
right.
It isn't just a bad night. They had a bad stretch in there because they did miss a whole bunch of threes. And the other thing that was striking was they weren't all good threes. Like, Jason Tatum, particularly at the end, took a couple of really tough threes that didn't seem like he needed to. Anyway, it was interesting to see that unfold. Let's go to the next one, Denver and Oklahoma City. On 2 days rest, Denver wins that one. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to watch that game in the second half, and OKC was up 10, and it's the fourth quarter, and I can't keep my eyes open, so I went to sleep, and there we go. excuse me. I mean, one of the questions people had about OKC, as dominant as they've been in the regular season, was, you know, their offense at the highest levels of playoff basketball, and particularly, like, the secondary guys there, you know, the Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, are they going to be able to carry a lot of offensive load as you go deep into playoffs at this point? And the answer was sort of no last night. Jalen Williams, I think, was like 5 of 20, and Chet Holmgren had a huge game against the Grizzlies to polish the Grizzlies off, but not so much last night. And Shea, other than game 4 against the Grizzlies, has not been awesome. Like, he wasn't awesome against the Grizzlies other than game 4. And it feels like they need him to be awesome. You know, they can't just rely. It should get deeper and deeper. Like, now for stretches against the Grizzlies, they could rely on this. But to rely on just turning teams over and running the other way, I mean, as you get deeper and deeper, that may be harder to pull off on a consistent basis. And so they need, you know, Shea to be awesome or Williams Holmgren to be good in terms of scoring and half-court offense. And so that Denver team is not dissimilar from the team that won a title a few years ago. That team didn't have any depth either. It was a six-man team, and all six guys stayed healthy all through four rounds of the playoffs. And Russell Westbrook, I think, this season has pretty much replaced the role that Bruce Brown had on that title team a couple years ago. And Christian Brown is not as good of a defensive player as Kentavious Caldwell Pope was in the same role a few years ago, but he's probably a little bit better offensive player, maybe. And so the question for Denver is, like, A, can Austin stay healthy, and then B, can Jamal Murray, you know, be what he was then?
Right.
And that is pretty up and down now. Like, it's not like he is in spurts, but he was, like, consistently great when they won a title, and, like, you know, I don't know if you're going to get that, but the general framework of that team is not dissimilar from a team that has already won a title.
Shea was good last night, 33-10, 8 assists, 1 turnover in 40 minutes. He was good last night. But Jokic was unbelievable. 42-22-6, just incredible, as he was in foul trouble. Where do you put Jokic? You know, you whatever the greats of the game conversation. Where do you put ever? Where vaguely how do you think about Jokic?
The problem with that is that you've got a handful of guys who have sort of legitimately entered the conversation, like him and Curry particularly.
Right.
And I think a step back from those two, probably I think Jokic is already maybe past Durant in a historical setting, but I think Jokic and Curry at the front of the list with LeBron, who's been there a long time at this point in terms of active players. But Jokic and Curry sort of have really entered the conversation. And, like, Durant and Giannis are sort of hovering around there, too. And at some point when you have in your head the idea of top 10 players and suddenly you're adding, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 more guys to that list, you can't think of it in
right.
that small of a number anymore. And so I think, when you've won, I don't know, what is it, 3, 4 MVPs? Something like that. I think 3, maybe he's won. 3 MVPs and a title. Like that, I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head the number
right.
of guys who have done that, but it's a small number. And so, like, I think he's in top 20 territory. I just see it. Like, I can't flippantly say top 10 because that's a real
right.
small number, you know?
Right. Like, how do you?
But think of similar players. I think Jokic historically is probably you put ahead of Barkley. You'd put ahead of
yes.
Dirk.
But where do you put him with? Where do you put him with Hakeem and Tim Duncan?
No, I just can't. I feel like you got to be retired for 3 years for me to start doing that. You know,
I
don't.
There's so damn many of them now because you have the perennials too. You got Wilt and Kareem and Bill Russell.
You're talking about Diggs. You got Shaq, right? I think he's ahead. I think he has moved ahead historically. I would say of the David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, even Moses Malone class of guys.
Yeah.
And has put himself in the conversation with the Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon group. I think Duncan is still, to me, like maybe a half step above that, but maybe not.
And then you got Jabbar and Wilt.
And Bill Russell, right.
And Bill Russell.
And so, like, you know, to even be in the conversation is pretty heady stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. By the way, one little thing. I was irked when we were talking about in the end, I came down on I think the Grizzlies were better off winning that game. Never advocated that they tank the game, never or anything like it. But the question, would they have been better off? And I think it's a reasonable question. Would they have been better off? Would the
sure.
franchise have been better off at this point had they gone and lost to Dallas? Because there was nothing good that came out of that Oklahoma City series, and now they don't have their pick. In the context of that conversation, you weren't, but a lot of people were like, first-round picks are meaningless anyway. Christian Brown, 21st pick in the draft. That doesn't mean you're going to get Christian Brown, but you very well could. And he's a useful player. When you're trying to spend, when you've got big money you're spending on certain players, it's good to pick up Christian Browns. And so I just think, whatever. There's a lot of people in this draft. In that series, Jeffrey pointed out earlier, Shea was the 11th pick, Jeffrey. Again, you're not likely going to get him. And where was Jokic? Second round somewhere.
Anyway. 41.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you, of these series that are now, the three series that are now one zip with the road team, rank them in terms of most likely for the road team to go ahead and win 4?
Well, I think the home road thing is meaningless with Minnesota. I mean, the seeding stuff is meaningless with
right.
Minnesota going
oh,
safe.
Yeah, no. The three that are already done that are in, where you got the Knicks, Denver, and Indiana up one zip. Where is there most likely to be an? Where are most and least likely to see an upset from those three series?
Man, that's a tough call. I mean, I wonder, I wonder if it's not the Knicks, just because
the most likely.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a conviction on this. I know I'm supposed to, but I don't know.
No, you're not supposed to. I think it's interesting you don't. I would have assumed that the Celtics are going to win that. They're not going to miss 45 free throws again, and they're just that's the one I would say that the Celtics are going to win. The other two, I could see it. I still think I think the 60 win teams are going to win all three series, but you know,
yeah, I don't know. I think they're very similar in that regard. I guess the Pacers, as much as I've defended the Pacers as being a good team, I guess I don't know if I feel the upside of the Pacers in a vacuum is as high as the upside of the Knicks and Nuggets.
But there we got the injury. We've got the Cleveland injury, though.
Yeah, we have that, and so there is that part of it. I mean, Porzingis missed time, but that was with an illness, so it sounds like he'll be back, but he's not the most reliable guy anyway. I mean, you would sort of like to say Nuggets over Thunder. I mean, Thunder were the one seed last year. They lost in the second round. And, again, this is a Nuggets team that has won a title with this core of players. It's just that Oklahoma City was so overwhelming across the regular season. It's just hard to lose faith in them this quickly, even with a loss in game one.
Warriors
a 2-point loss in game one, by the way.
Warriors T-Wolves tonight. What do you think of that matchup?
You know, if that were a first-round series, I would pick the Warriors. I think, you know, going into the playoffs, I had sort of recalibrated how good I thought the teams were, setting aside their record and all that, and I had the Warriors, you know, higher than the Wolves, and also you factor in, you know, the been there, done that of those guys and finding ways to win. I just wonder about the sort of accumulation of stuff with Golden State. You know, Butler had the injury in the first round series that hasn't been peak Jimmy Butler. Curry's got the thumb thing that seems to be lingering. And then Draymond Green is like, you know, he's really on the precipice of like of missing a game with a suspension with the way he's racking up the flagrants and the techs. And I think that Warriors team has a high upside with all three of those guys on the floor and all three of those guys, you know, in top form. But I think it changes in a hurry when you take any of that out of the equation. And Butler not being 100% and Green potentially not being on the floor, I think that stuff can sap Golden State fast. And I think Minnesota, not only do they have the home court, do they have more rest, they're just a more stable team in terms of, like, you know, having more reliance on who's going to be playing and how healthy they're going to be. They're just a little bit more reliable, I think. So I think I like the Wolves in that series.
And then finally, since we never talked about Greg Popovich and his decision to not return as head coach, I know you were a big Duncan guy, and so you watched a lot of Spurs over the years. Thoughts on Pop retiring or moving into president basketball operations?
I sort of assumed, you know, when he had had, was it a stroke he had earlier this year?
Yep. Minor stroke.
Yeah, I mean, that was my assumption that he would not be coaching next season. I mean, it seemed like even before that, it was sort of getting to be time, you know? And so that was sort of my assumption that this would be what was happening. I didn't think that assistant would get the job. I mean, that's a job like everyone in the world wants, pretty much. And I'm sort of surprised I put it in that guy's hands. But, you know, they know more about him than I do. I mean, Pop's one of the all-time great coaches and one of the all-time great sort of non-player figures probably in the league, you know. He's not as showy in his own way. It's like Red Auerbach and Pat Riley, but he's kind of in that vein in terms of, you know, winning and in terms of exerting influence over the league and in terms of just being sort of a big figure who looms over a lot of stuff in basketball. I think those are probably the best comps for him.